Wendy Johnson runs Joya Food Farm on land she rents from her family, which has a conventional corn and soybean operation near Charles City, Iowa. She lifts the corner of a mobile chicken tractor. It's a lightweight plastic frame covered in wire mesh that has corralled her month-old meat chickens for a few days.
Before we just let them out in day range, we make sure that they know, understand that this is their home so that they go back into it.
Starting now, they will be free to forage and peck the surrounding area during the day. The portable coop keeps them safe at night.
I have watched them eat. They really love the tips of the new grass and then the clover flowers, the white clover flowers.
Johnson has other big plans. She'll rotate sheep through a series of small paddocks, and these meat chickens will follow. They'll eat what they please and fertilize with their waste. She plans for pigs to eventually graze on organic crop fields where their rooting will help improve soil health. Many farmers like Johnson are looking for creative ways to keep acres productive while also improving cropland and wildlife habitat. One possible solution, using grazing livestock to enhance the land they roam.
Multi-species open pasture system has a higher level of animal welfare.
That's Will Harris of White Oak Pastures in Bluffton, Georgia. He's gone big on this method.
I believe it is more regenerative for the land, and I think it benefits rural economies.
He spoke to Johnson and dozens of other Midwest farmers in Iowa and described how he came to pasture-raise cattle, hogs, sheep, goats, rabbits, and five types of poultry. To reap the benefits, Harris says, a farmer has to be savvy about developing a market for high-end meats. Over 10 years, he had to stomach millions of dollars in loans.
And today it's cash flow positive and profitable. Not obscenely cash flow positive and profitable. We have to watch every penny, but it's working.
This is not how most livestock is raised. Modern farms look for economies of scale. They focus on one animal, developing expertise and investing in infrastructure. That keeps costs low for us at the grocery store, but it can also generate tons of waste and deplete the soil. Here in the Corn Belt, farmers raise massive amounts of corn and soybeans to feed these big livestock operations. In many areas, the prairie has been gone for decades. But grazing animals is possible, says Adam Janke, an Extension Wildlife Specialist at Iowa State University. He says conservation grazing is a real thing.
And these are these neat examples where people are using the behavior of domestic livestock to mimic, for example, what elk would have eaten or what bison would have eaten, or even to do totally novel things like control invasive species.
Cattle, sheep, and goats all can play a part. But Janke says when, where, and for how long the animals graze needs to be carefully controlled. Moving animals through a series of paddocks, as Wendy Johnson does, is called rotational grazing.
Rotational grazing systems are really productive for wildlife because there's a combination of rest, recovery, and grazing.
Janke says that can allow for a variety of native plants to grow back, which in turn attracts birds and pollinators and helps restore the area to something resembling the former tall grass prairie. Johnson may never restore prairie, and she can't let her hogs roam freely as they do in Will Harris's Georgia woodland. But his example gives her hope that she can care for her livestock, restore soil health, attract wildlife, and turn a profit. It's not just a dream. It can be a business plan.
And that he is doing well, it just tells me that we have a future and we have a place in agriculture today.
And that's what she was looking for when she returned to Iowa after many years away. Amy Mayer, Harvest Public Media.